Welcome to the Success Revolution podcast with Gemma Bernad. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome to another episode of the Success Revolution podcast. I have a little story for you today that I want to share before we dive into this episode. And I'm really excited because I'm actually bringing back an episode from last year. And it's actually one of the most popular episodes that we've had on the podcast. And I know that you're going to get a lot out of this one. Now, before we dive in, if you are new into my world, a huge welcome. If you stumbled across this podcast, my name is Gemma Bernad. I am the host of this podcast. I am also, hear a door. It's so windy here where we are at the moment. Doors are slamming. Noise has been made. Wind is blowing. I'm also a psychic business mentor and I help women grow aligned and successful businesses by following their fulfillment, not working harder. And I am just so excited to have you here, particularly if you've like just magically stumbled across this episode from somewhere. Huge welcome to you. But if you are a long-time listener, then as always, so much love for you and welcome back for another episode. So, the story. I have a really great manifesting story for you. And before I go into the story, a little bit of history, particularly if you're new or you've only been following for a short time and you haven't gone all the way back to episode one. This podcast actually began as a podcast called the Manifesting Mums Podcast. And I started my online journey by really sharing an experience that I went through for 120 days where I was learning all I could about conscious manifestation. And I just wanted to share it. And I chose a podcast to do that. And that's how I built my business to the level that it's at today and starting the online world. And it's been through many evolutions and iterations and all of the things. And it's super exciting. But manifesting was my OG jam. And if you are in my world, whether you began with me back in those manifesting mum days or whether you're new, I'm going to tell you, if you're with me, you are someone who I know loves the magical combination of woo and business because, let's be honest, doing it by yourself just ain't no fun, okay? We are co-creators with the universe. That's what we do in my neck of the woods, okay? We are not flying solo in this journey. Everything we do, we add a dash and a sprinkle of magic all over the place, okay? So I want to bring this manifestation story in because I love to share stories. And I think there's always so much juice and gold. So before we even dive into this episode, I'm going to share this little story with you so that you've got some context about something that I'm going to announce in a moment as well, okay? Let me get the story. 5th of October last year, 2021, it was a very nondescript day, okay? Like nothing unusual about it at all at the time. Just in my desk, in the afternoon, my office, just doing some work and I stopped to have a scroll on social media and I stopped and I scrolled and I was scrolling and, you know, Facebook pops up those friend suggestions, right? And it's like, hey, we're going to suggest this person. We think you guys should know each other. And I've got to be honest, like I get a lot of those like friend suggestions come through. I don't actually, honestly, very often anymore, like go out of my way to kind of like add people in. Like a lot of people friend request me. And if I think it's aligned, then I'll say, hey, let's be friends. But I don't kind of like friend request a lot of people. However, this day was different because this person's name and face popped up and there was just something in me that was like, friend request her. And it didn't really make a lot of sense, but it was just that, you know, that feeling you get when you just know something is right. So I did. A friend requested, she accepted. We hit it off in Messenger, and within hours, I'd actually invited her onto my podcast. It's the interview that I'm going to share with you in a moment. Okay. So I invited her on my podcast. She said yes. We made some magic happen in this episode, I'm going to tell you. Now, here is what I did not tell her at the time because you know, hashtag stalker vibes, this would have been a little bit unusual. But I also knew why we were talking back and forth in Messenger that we were going to collaborate. I just knew it. I knew I felt a connection with her. I knew that there was going to be some magic that we were going to make. I didn't know when. I didn't know how. I didn't really know what it would look like. Although this story is a part of this story I'm going to have to save for later because there's something that she and I are working on behind the scenes that is a little bit bigger that I can't talk about right now. But I knew we were going to collaborate. Fast forward 12 months, we have stayed in contact. We've had dinner together because she doesn't live, well, she lives quite a few hours away from me, but she sometimes comes to Sydney. She's a country girl. Well, she's not really. She's actually a Brit who married an Aussie who then moved into the city that moved to the country. Anyway, I adore Holly. But we, you know, fast forward 12 months later, she sent me a message and she was like, I was wondering, like, I have this really cool signature program and I'm looking for a regular guest expert to come in every single month and talk to everyone in there and help them and support them around their mindset, subconscious, energy. Like, I want someone who's like going to deliver it, who's going to tell it how it is and really get in there. And I was like, fuck yes, of course. And by the way, I knew this was going to happen. I didn't say that bit, but I was like, yeah, of course. And in my mind, I was like, ah, here we go. And so I am very proud to announce that I've become the guest expert inside Holly McHugh's Magnetic Selling Program. Now, Holly's interview that we did 12 months ago now, I am rerunning that today because it was powerful for both of us, right? It was like she's this beautiful blend of science and art when it comes to sales and messaging. And she's just so real. And if you're in my world, you will know that realness is everything to me in this business and this brand that I have built. Like, if you are not you online, I'm like, nah, I don't really feel it. Holly is real. She keeps it real, but she's really fucking good at what she does too. Okay. So we are also partnering up for some other things. So as I said, I am a guest expert. So every month inside Holly's Magnetic Selling Program, I come in and I run an activation, a magnetic selling activation call where I do some hot seat coaching and I really activate these women. And there's one man in there, but I activate them into really owning their confidence, speaking their truth and being unapologetically visible so that they can really get out there and take all the work that Holly does to help them master their message, now their positioning and sell in a way that's just not fucking sleazy either, by the way. Like, Holly's got a really beautiful process, which is incredible and amazing. And so I love that I get to come in there and do that work. And I'm so excited for the relationship that I'm building and continuing to build with Holly and all of those things. So the program is the bomb diggity. It honestly is. And Holly's work is incredible. And I back Holly. I guarantee her work. And so I am even more excited to announce that Holly is running a workshop on the 27th of November. Now, I just need to, do you know what? I just need to double check that date. I just had this moment where I was like, oh my God, is it the 27th or is it the 24th? So I'm just going to do a quick check. You know me. I'm like, exactly as it is. Oh my God, it's the 24th of November. So glad I checked that. It's Thursday, the 24th of November. It's called the Stop the Scroll Masterclass. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do any or want to do any sort of marketing online on social media, you've got to get your bottom into this workshop, okay? Because the truth is, the women that I work with, and if you're in my world, you are like them. They have a message, like a very potent and powerful message that they are so deeply passionate about getting out to the world because they know that others need to hear it. Like, their ideas, their inspiration, their opinions change people's lives. Like, they really do. Like, some of my clients, I'm like, you, like, your stuff, what you say, we've got to get you saying it. But here's the thing, just vomiting it all over social media, unfortunately, creates a very icky pattern that none of us like, which is where your people are scrolling on by and stopping for others who, frankly, are probably a little bit less passionate than you, but they're better marketers. It's painful, but it's the truth, right? And here's the thing, whilst it's easy like to think that the answer is, hey, I'll just create more content and I'm just going to like dance on TikTok. I'm going to really badly lip sync on Reels. Okay. Like that just creates more exhaustion, content confusion. And like, we don't want to go down that path. Okay. None of those things are going to make a difference. Like, you know, creating more content, doing more Reels. Okay. Even making like a more precise social media plan, it's not going to make any of a difference if you don't know how to hook attention in a way that stops people scrolling on social media and taking notice. Like the truth is people's attention spans are minute shit, but it's true. And we've got to work with some of this stuff. Like this is the reality we live in. We've got to work with it. So the great news is that Holly's workshop on the 24th of November is going to teach you what you need to know to create magnetic hooks. And I'm going to tell you magnetic hooks that sound like you, okay? We're not going to become carbon copies of anyone else. You're not going to become vanilla and boring and just like, you know, blending in. Like this is about how to stand out in a way that sounds like you. You. But that also makes your content a must read, a must open, a must watch. Okay, so people stop the scroll. The workshop is going to be the bomb diggity dig, I'm telling you right now. It's going to be incredible. She's got a pop-up Facebook group. I'm going to be inside that pop-up Facebook group as well. It's going to be amazing. I want to see you there. So I'm going to pop the details for the workshop inside the show notes. Honestly, I don't know if you've been in my world for a long time, I don't recommend many people. That's the truth. In fact, I think Holly is the first person. Actually, not the first person, but like I am very, very in alignment with Holly and her work. Okay. But she's the first person that I'm like, really like, hey, you got to stop. Like you got to listen. You got to stop, drop, babe. You got to listen. You got to get into her work. I highly recommend her. Okay. I think she's incredible. I think she's a good human being. I believe she is committed to you sounding like you, not you sounding like her, which is really super important. If you know my experience, I did sign up with a coach, a marketing and messaging coach I worked with. It was not Holly. A couple of years ago, this coach was amazing. This is no shade on her, but I ended up sounding like her, a carbon copy of her. For lots of reasons, okay? But Holly is very committed to you sounding like you, but really also working with the art and science of messaging, okay? Because we've got to work with bias psychology. Like we have to understand this stuff, okay? So details are below. Honestly, jump into the workshop. It is just going to be worth every second of your time. This is a workshop that will keep giving over and over again, okay? But I wanted to bring back now my chat with Holly because I want you to tap back into her energy. I want you to feel her like she's so freaking good. And can I – actually, you know what else I'm going to share with you? Hopefully she won't mind me sharing this, but I'm going to share it anyway. I'm going to trust she's going to be okay with this. There is a particular gate in human design, okay, that is a gate that is all about the energy of influence. And it's actually like the energy of the salesperson. It's not called that, but it's the energy of that. And what I love about this, and this is Holly has this gate, not only does she have it activated, it's actually in a very prominent position in her chart, which means she is made for this work. Okay. And also not only is she made for this work, when you go into her work, her energy, you will learn from her energy just as much as you learn from the stuff she teaches you, okay? Because she has this energy in her, like it's innate in her, all right? So like she shares experiences with me all the time about people that come into her work that like do a session with her and then they like sell the next day. They just sell things out the next day. They just sell their offer so easily. Not really, because she's done a lot with their messaging yet. Like, they've tapped into a few things, but because there is this energetic piece in her DNA that is to do with her gene keys and her human design that makes this her life's work. And the beautiful thing that I love about this energy is that it's built on integrity, which is what Holly's all about. She's about messaging and marketing and selling with integrity, like none of this sleazy BS stuff. Okay. So I'm sharing that with you because I just want you to know this is why I'm like promoting this and saying, get your bum into it. Because not only do I know she's really good, but I know like energetically she is super, super aligned with this work. Like, she's on the planet to teach this stuff. Okay. So I'm sharing that with you. Holly, if you're listening to this, I love you. I hope you're okay with me sharing that little bit of information, but I think it is important for people to understand, like, it's not like Holly's going to teach you incredible stuff. Yes, but her energy to be in is going to change you too. Okay. All right. So details are all below. Without further ado, go and enjoy this chat. Like, go and enjoy this conversation. If you've listened to it before, please go and listen to it again. This is a podcast episode you will just listen to over and over again. We both drop serious wisdom bombs all through this, like serious, like you're going to take a lot away from this. So you might even want pen, paper. If you're driving, don't do that, but enjoy. Okay. Otherwise, get your butt into the Stop the Scroll Masterclass and I will see you inside. Okay. All right. Have a beautiful day and I will see you at the end of this episode. Oh, ladies, I'm always super excited to have a guest. You know, as much as I love to record solo episodes, you know, I love to have incredible conversations with incredible women. Today is no different. Holly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Gemma. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Yes, as I always do with guests, we have a bit of a chat before we hit record. And once again, like it happens every single time, there is so much gold and juice in the conversations I have before we hit record. So I've got to keep reminding myself next time that I've got to hit record the moment I get on these calls, and I can cut and paste and rearrange and do all of those things. But I've got to say, I know that the people that listen to this conversation are going to get so much out of this, including a very different perspective around messaging that I think is absolutely needed for us as, you know, really empowered female entrepreneurs. And I know that you are the woman that's going to help deliver that. So I'm super excited. But before we dive into all of the juice and all of the gold, I'd love for you to kind of give my listeners a little bit of a history about how it is that you landed here to be such an incredible sales and messaging coach.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, in a nutshell, I'm a sales and messaging coach specifically for service-based entrepreneurs. So where that kind of, I guess, the journey to date and the trajectory that I've been on that kind of led me to this moment doing this type of work, it really all started in my corporate career. So my whole background is in brand strategy and in marketing. I spent a decade working for the likes of Procter & Gamble and Unilever on big global consumer brands. So I was very fortunate to learn from the very best when it came to marketing, advertising, you know, knowing how to tap into our consumer insights and understand what people want, to be involved in, you know, big global media campaigns and new product innovation and launches and all that jazz. So that was very much my kind of bread and butter business background. But then the kind of, I guess, plan I'd had for my life sort of suddenly came crashing down a little bit when I was working in London, and I was in my mid-20s and I'd landed the perfect job, and I'd actually just moved from Switzerland where, you know, I was working on these amazing media campaigns and, you know, managing millions of dollars of budget and had a view of the mountains out my window. And then I came back to London and I basically had this realization that I was actually struggling. It wasn't feeling easy. It wasn't feeling effortless. And I ticked all these boxes and, to get to this point, you know, I'd studied and got my master's and got these qualifications. And then I was like, I'm not really feeling this. I'm not really very happy. And at 25, 24, wherever I was, that was like a bit shit, really, because I was like, what am I going to do about that? But really what it was coming down to is just feeling that sense of perfectionism and fear of failure and imposter syndrome in what was a very fast-paced, demanding environment, feeling like I wasn't quite measuring up. I was literally, I never forget this one moment I had where my boss called me in to talk to me in a separate room. We had an open plan office, so you always kind of know it's going to be important when someone calls you in to talk in a different room. And the thought that went through my head was, oh my God, they've found me out. They know that I'm not cut out for this. You know, they've realized I'm a fraud. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm totally winging it. And what she actually told me was, I see you as one of our shining stars, and I'm going to be telling the head of marketing that I think blah, 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 blah about you, and, you know, to put you on her radar. And basically she was acknowledging I was doing a really amazing job, but I was so far removed from that self-perception. And it was literally like I was blindsided by what she said, but it brought up a lot of things around just not actually feeling aligned to what I was doing and feeling a daily kind of resistance very physically. I was walking into my office feeling literal chest pains at the stress and anxiety of slipping up, getting it wrong, not kind of keeping up with the pace. So this basically sparked a personal development journey, really. I'd never up until that moment in time explored any personal development. I didn't know how else to think about myself or you know, or what I was doing or my confidence. I'd always kind of had some challenges with my own self-esteem and anxiety and things like that. So this kind of brought things to the forefront because I had this sinking feeling that, oh my gosh, I'm only going to be happy when I'm retired, despite having everything I thought I wanted and being very successful on paper. So this just brought up a whole lot of questions for me about, well, what does success really mean? And what does it mean to me personally? And I'd only ever answered the first question according to what I'd been told or what society thought or other people thought around me or what everyone else was doing in terms of smashing their goals in the corporate space. But I'd never asked myself truly what does success mean to me. So to cut a long story short, that set me on the path of mindfulness, meditation, NLP. I then became a certified coach back in 2013. And then I moved from London to Sydney. And all of those amazing things had literally changed my life. They changed the way I thought about myself. I felt very empowered and very self-aware for the first time, I think, in my whole life. And I was like, right, I want to empower other people with this. And no one in Sydney gave a crap because my CV said marketing, not HR or learning and development or coaching. And so no amount of passion or enthusiasm about wanting to do this work was ever going to sway any recruitment agent. So basically, I was able to negotiate a part-time senior marketing role with a precious day per week to work on my business and explore coaching further. And over time, that became 2 days per week, and I had a job share where I was actually having the best of both worlds, working on my own business and nurturing that and still being part of a very big, exciting global corporate world and working on these big brands. And then I had my daughter, Ella, back in 2018, and then I never went back to corporate. And over time of running my business, I really noticed that what just lit me up the most always came back to the communication. How was I supporting people to convey a message? How was I supporting people to get clarity around really who were they looking to serve and help and support and attract in their business? What do they want to stand for? And I think that all comes back to, you know, the branding world, right? And really what it means to be a personal brand and represent ourselves in business and, you know, what we want to be known for and the legacy that we want to leave. So it was only end of 2019 that I niched down further and really laser focused to own my brilliance as a sales and messaging coach, which I honestly feel just tapped into all of my passions, but also all of my, I guess, strongest gifts as well in that space. Yeah.
What a journey. And I just want to touch on the fact that, I mean, at 25, to have that realization and to have the space to then explore what success means to you is absolutely incredible. I mean, it's taken took me and I'm sure a lot of other people a lot longer, but what a trajectory that then put you on to be able to continue to explore how you can serve and support yourself and then the evolution of that into the business that you're in today. And, you know, I never find it surprising necessarily that, you know, the experiences that you had really then get mirrored in your business as well. Like you said, obviously it was a lot of perfectionism, a lot of you not really seeing, you know, I mean, a lack of real self-awareness and the self-perception. Like you didn't see, everyone else was seeing you're brilliant and you weren't. Yeah. Like everyone else saw you. And that's exactly because I know how important that aspect of really owning your brilliance truly is to everything that you do because, you know, and that's, I'm sure you see it, but that's certainly something that I see is one of the core areas that women really find challenging is to actually own how incredible they are at what they do. So I'd love to kind of dive into that aspect with you around that, because I think there is a really important conversation that we can have here today that hopefully will truly land with women and activate them into that next level of really owning their brilliance.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I don't think there's a single woman I've worked with that hasn't had that challenge. It's like a rite of passage, I think. When we shift working behind the scenes, especially in a corporate, and we're used to doing our thing and having confidence in that role, to representing ourselves, it triggers all kinds of things for us.
Oh, yeah.
I've had people who've even worked in sales their entire corporate life who then struggle to sell themselves. And we're kind of quite happy, sort of almost, I guess, hiding behind a bigger brand or a bigger name or a product or just being behind the scenes. And then when suddenly the spotlight's on us, we feel exposed, I think. We're very visible and we've got the spotlight on us. And, you know, instantly, I think any of the insecurities or fears or doubts or triggers that we haven't acknowledged in our past or haven't healed or haven't even been aware of until that moment when they suddenly come into consciousness, perhaps for the very first time, you know, if they are at the forefront, then that's when we're going to feel that resistance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's exactly what business does, as you said. I mean, I see that exactly what you see as well. I see women that were so incredibly successful in their corporate careers and then they move into business and all of a sudden that confidence that was there when they were, as you say, behind the scenes starts to evaporate. And I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's this, you know, being in the spotlight. And I know I've been having a lot of conversations with clients and women lately about this concept of really allowing themselves to be fully seen, all of themselves to be fully seen, and also allowing themselves to be the center of attention, however that looks on a physical aspect, okay, because that obviously looks different, center of attention looks different for all of us. But this is huge, I think, collective conditioning.
Absolutely. It's scary. And the reason it's scary is not only, I think it really does go as deep as, you know, being in our cerebral DNA and, you know, it's kind of like the burden and the baggage that we still kind of carry from being a female full stop. You know, ultimately in the past, it has been actually genuinely dangerous to speak up and speak our truth and be in the spotlight and be visible. And I'm getting goosebumps as I say that. Clearly there's some more past life healing I need to do. But you know, it's real, right? That's actually been the reality for women, and it continues to be the reality for many women in the world today.
So
there's that to actually acknowledge. And then there's also, I think, just the fear of being seen as, you know, as just as I gave in that example, and it's funny that that's the example that just came up to me as that kind of a stream of consciousness in terms of being, you know, worried to be seen as a fraud or that whole imposter syndrome that I think just it always comes up, you know, time and time and time again. And I think it's ultimately linked to some time in our lives where being fully ourselves didn't feel safe, because at one point or another, whether it was as a child or as a teenager, and we've said our piece or shared an opinion and it wasn't validated by others, it wasn't accepted by others, perhaps we were laughed at or rejected in some way. And that could be literally, it could be from friendship groups, it could be parents, it could be teachers, it could be a boyfriend. That sense of it wasn't safe to speak my truth, it wasn't safe to be myself in that moment. And then we learn that we shouldn't do that again, right? And we shouldn't sort of, I guess, we need to act perhaps a little bit more cautiously next time. And so suddenly we've withdrawn a little bit and we've retreated a little bit and we've learnt not to, I guess, be too loud and proud. And one of the examples that came up for me recently when I was doing an RTT session was from school. And I've never forgotten it, but this girl said, "Oh, even Holly did better than me on this test." And it was like, whoa, you know, and it was the sense of I'm not perceived as knowing what I'm doing or being smart enough, being clever enough. And it's taken me a long time to connect these dots. But for so long, success has meant hard work. It's meant proving myself. It's meant going the extra mile. And I think it's also to do with being blonde and female and all the rest of it, looking younger than I am. This is another thing. But yeah, that's, I think, so things, you know, ultimately these triggers have a root cause, right? There's been a moment in our lives where it genuinely hasn't felt safe. So we shrink back, withdraw, we feel embarrassed. And so we dim our light, right? And we don't actively share our brilliance. We don't show up fully. And we often don't want others to feel bad as well. And there's a perception of that. If we, you know, claim our brilliance too much, too boldly, then others are going to feel less than somehow. So I always say we dim our light without realizing that the sky is actually at its most magnificent when all the stars are in their brilliance.
Yes.
So I think this is such an important piece to move through. And I think everyone's journey through this rite of passage is very personal. But ultimately the key to owning our brilliance is to recognize that we have, at some point in time, we have learned that it wasn't safe, therefore we stopped trusting ourselves. And owning our brilliance requires us to trust ourselves. It requires us to trust in our gifts. It requires us to trust our own voice, trust our own decisions. And until we recognize that piece, I feel like nothing else really flows, especially in entrepreneurship, because we're consistently looking outwards for the right answers, the right next move, the right thing to do, because we haven't trusted our own intuition. We haven't claimed our gifts and we haven't committed to our gifts. So for me, that's what our brilliance is all about.
And it's, I mean, the flow-on effect from just that one area of owning your brilliance and feeling really safe to be fully yourself matriculates into so many areas, obviously in messaging and other aspects too. But, you know, I completely, wholeheartedly agree with you. This is such a core thing. And I love that we get to have these conversations in a public way as well, because I think there is such a sense of loneliness that we can experience in realizing that we don't feel safe to be ourselves. And it can, honestly, it can feel like nobody else is going through that. But I think the more of us that speak up and say yes, like, you know, as you said, there was an experience that you had that was brought up to the surface that allowed you to connect the dots there as well. And you could name probably quite a lot of them that have contributed to that conditioning that we hold in our minds and also our bodies. And I've certainly got a multitude of experiences that I can call on as well. And I think it's important that people see, you know, other women that listen to this who are going through that experience of not feeling safe, see other women that have gone through that. And also still, like, you know, we can do a lot of healing around that, but it's still an evolution, right? It's almost, you know, constant growth and evolution in these spaces. There's always, I mean, my opinion, my belief and what I subscribe to is that, you know, I truly believe that we're, you know, constantly growing and evolving, and that there's another level of brilliance within ourselves that we get to continue to accept. And it is a rite of passage, and it can be a beautiful experience. It can be uncomfortable at times too, of course. But there is a sense of freedom the more that we peel those layers back, and the more that we do feel safe to be more of ourselves, the more that we do trust in ourselves, the more that we trust in our ability to be able to share our gifts, speak our gifts, speak our truth, and be all of who we are, and share that in a way that can also activate other women to step into that also.
I think you've just hit the nail on the head, because not only is it supporting others to feel less isolated within even just the world of fellow entrepreneurs, because I feel like whenever we have a problem we don't know how to deal with, we always feel like we're the only one, right?
Totally. Totally.
The only mum who can't get their baby to sleep, and we only blah, 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 and all the rest of
it. Totally. Totally.
And that sense of, you know, that exhale of relief, like, oh, other people do this too. Other people get it through. And that inspiration, I think, of recognizing that, you know, people who we deem to, who we see as being, you know, further ahead of us in a certain way, you know, have been here too in our shoes and are still going through that in our shoes.
Absolutely.
And that ultimately is part of the journey, right? It's a part of, I guess, life. It's part of being a woman. It's definitely a part of being an entrepreneur. But also what I love in what you just said is to recognize that in sharing this and speaking our truth in this way and showing up and having others see that actually we've had this journey as well, that is what attracts your people to you. And it's what helps you connect to the very people you're looking to attract in your world, in your community, in your audience, in terms of your clients as well. And the more that you speak from the heart and speak your truth in this way, the easier it is for them to say, that's my person, right? And so there's this inclusivity through sharing our message and our brilliance in that sense, where it's telling others they're not alone, but it's also showing the, you know, we get it. And there's nothing more powerful to others than a sense of connecting to someone who gets it, who gets where they are today, because they've been there as well, but have found a way to move forwards and are a few steps ahead, and ultimately have a way that made that happen. So that is really, really inspiring, right? I've always said, you know, I, with any mentor I've ever worked with, I need to know you've struggled too, right? That's literally been since day dot. Like, I don't want to learn from someone who's never got anything wrong, apparently, you know, who sits in an ivory tower, who only ever shares successes, because that's not real. It's not relatable. And I always say, you know, yes, share your successes, but what people really want to know is how you overcame the setbacks that enabled you to achieve those successes along the way. That is actually the conversation that people want to listen to and join in with and be a part of, because it plants that seed of possibility that it's possible for them to.
Yes, wholeheartedly agree. I built my business off that level of vulnerability, that level of realness, that level of authenticity. Like, that's a core value within my brand, is, you know, really being that person that walks side by side with people, that really is able to look over at you and say, hey, not only have I been through this, but potentially I'm now at the next level moving through this as well. So, and I think, you know, there is this sense of, you know, almost like a conversation we need to have about the reality of what it looks like, because it's not that you get to this point really as a Holly where it's like, oh, I own my brilliance. I'm done now. I'm done. Tick. My brilliance is owned. Tick. Next. I mean, again, I'm assuming I'm not alone on this, because it's certainly been my experience. It's been layers. Like, there is another, like, it's like you get comfortable in this layer of your expertise, your brilliance, what it is, your gifts, your magic. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, something else comes in. And it's like,
absolutely. Okay. New level, new devil, is the saying. And it's so true. You're speaking to someone who used to buy amazing inspirational personal development books and put them on the bookcase and just assume by osmosis that I was going to benefit from them without necessarily having to read them.
yes, you should see my bookcase I have going on here.
I'll get around to that another time. In the meantime, I'll add another one to the pile. But completely. Look, we all have another step. There's always another stage, right? There's another phase, another level to be working through. I don't think the work is ever really done. And it would be sad if it was, because I feel like, you know, at the very core of evolution is growth, right? And it's just that when we have growth, it requires us to change. And that's why both success and failure is scary, because we're having to change and evolve in some way versus what we've got comfortable with. So I think, it's not that we stop feeling fear. That's never actually going to be our reality, right? It's not how we're wired. We feel fear to protect us and keep us safe, right? And protect us from pain. That's how our subconscious mind works. But the only way that we can ever work through those fears and do things in spite of the fears is to consciously decide, right? Mm. We just have to actually make the decision. And that's why I say we have to not only own our brilliance and accept our gifts, we have to commit to them. And the biggest shift for me is recognizing that, you know, the cause is bigger than us. Like the why of what we're doing, what we're feeling called to us, it has to be bigger than us. And if motherhood has taught me anything, is that we can achieve a whole lot when we have no freaking clue what we're doing. And, you know, even when we're scared, we're winging it, we're feeling anxious, we don't have all the answers, the cause is bigger than us, right? We have to find a way, because it's our child. And if we can work through something like that and we ultimately follow through, and then we surprise ourselves with what we were able to do, and actually the child's still alive at 4 years old and happy and healthy, then it's the realization that actually we have that ability, full stop. right? In any context, when we have connected enough to that why and that cause.
Yes. And it's so important as well. Like even as we're talking about this conversation around, you know, it's an evolution in terms of your brilliance. You know, I think it's so important because what happens and what I see anyway is when it comes to, because I think when you talk about committing to it, when I think about that commitment to your brilliance that happens, I think that commitment gets embodied when you take action. So when you start speaking that, when you start writing, sharing, talking, you know, really putting that out there, that to me is the complete embodiment of the concept of commitment, right? But so many people, I think, get really caught up in, you know, I've got to, you know, the message has got to be perfect. You know, I've got to be in this space where I'm fully owning and confident in my brilliance to be able to communicate what I do. And I'd love to kind of hear, I guess, for you what your kind of teachings and coachings are around, you know, helping, you know, women to really own how important the messaging is as a form of self-expression, not as a form of perfection.
Oh, I love that. Yes, 100% yes. I have worked with so many women who they're just waiting. They're waiting to feel ready. They're waiting for it to be perfect. They're waiting to feel confident.
Yes.
They're waiting to have the clarity. And, you know, we've heard it before, but clarity and confidence, it does come, as you say, through taking action. It comes through taking those first steps. It comes through getting feedback from, did that work? Did that not work? Did it land? Did it not land? Did it resonate? Did it not resonate?
And totally.
We don't know until we put it out there. We don't know anything until we just start and see. And that's why this cannot come from a lens of needing to be perfect, needing to get things right, but rather that lens of curiosity, fun. Like, you know, how can I make this fun? How can I make it easy?
Yes.
How can I make it simple?
And
curiosity around a wonder. How people will respond to this one, or I wonder if people would enjoy this, or I wonder if this project could be interesting to spend my time on, you know, and that just that literally pure imaginative curiosity that we lost as a child. And I think, you know, everyone bangs on about, you know, I want it to feel flow and I want to feel easy in my business. I want everything to be, you know, effortless. And yet we're trying to control it at every single step. And so we're kind of like that really annoying boss that micromanages us. And we're just like, God damn it, give me some space and give me a chance to show what I'm capable of, right? It's kind of this inner conflict where stop being the micromanager of your own self and business. Step back and allow yourself to be the leader and step into, you know, that bigger kind of arena and have your say and see what happens for the most part. But yeah, in terms of the messaging of, you know, perfection versus self-expression, there's a lot I can unpack here. First and foremost,
take the floor.
First and foremost, messaging is definitely both an art and a science. 100%.
Yes.
I love to tap into both of those things. But in terms of, you know, the perfection around it, like the way that we can really release the perfection around it, I believe, is to remember that it's not about us. Right? Our message is about how it connects and inspires and lifts and empowers others, first and foremost. Like what we're putting out there, what we're feeling called to share, it's ultimately what other people need to hear. And the way to make your messaging and ultimately, you know, have those slam dunk yeses and sign up in a heartbeat sales is to be meeting people where they are at and to be reflecting their truth in your messaging. And so the science part of it, and by that I really mean the neuroscience of it, is to remember that we have to be speaking their language. And a lot of the time we're not. We're speaking an elevated form of that language. You know, we're a few two steps ahead of the people we're actually trying to connect with. So we lose them, it falls flat. Instead of actually tuning into, well, what are they saying about this challenge, this frustration, this pain point, if you want to use that language, what are they saying about the things they want? And you know, the reasons they can't have it. And when we reflect that back in our own messaging, copy, marketing, that's when it strikes a powerful chord. That's when you get the, oh my gosh, you read my mind. That's when you get the, how did you know? I was just saying this yesterday, my partner. And it's because, you know, we've done the groundwork and we've connected to our audience and we've eliminated the guesswork of what to say or share and sell, because we've actually understood our audience fully. And a lot of people skim over that step, and then they're spending forever tediously laboring over their messaging, wondering if it's this word or that word, when actually you could just ask your audience. Most. So in terms of the structure and the, kind of, I guess, the biopsychology part of it, we do have to understand some key things about our audience in terms of what they want, you know, what they're struggling with. But also, most importantly, which is the thing that most people miss, is the impact of that. What's the impact of the challenge or frustration or block in their lives? What is the impact of having the desired outcome they say they want? Because we can suck up a lot of problems for a long time. We put up with a lot of things, right? It's only when those problems start to impact on us in our lives and impact on the things we care about that we have that fire up our backside to change, to do something about
it. Yeah, yes,
so
absolutely.
Going a layer deeper in your messaging from that perspective is really key. And speaking that truth and holding up the mirror to your audience of can they really, you know, how long are they willing to put up with this situation, basically? That's when we, as I said, strike a very powerful chord and messaging really hits the nail on the head. And from that perspective as well, you know, messaging, I feel like a lot of people overlook it and they don't spend enough time or intention on it, and they just kind of dismiss it as either it's something they're good at or something they're not good at. But messaging is your deal breaker, because whether what you're sharing is free or what you're sharing is paid, people have to first buy into you to buy from you.
Yes. Yeah.
And we do need to pay attention to it, and we do need to be very intentional with it, because it's the only way anyone actually experiences you and your brand, right? Mm. It's how we bring our entire brand to life through our content, through our messaging, through our story. And so from that perspective, it should be something we actually spend more time on than anything else, is how am I conveying my message in a way that really reflects what I'm all about, and to use your point about the self-expression. And then from the other side, linked to this is the art, so to speak. And that is the fact that self-expression is, you know, ultimately tuning into what's real and to what's true and to what's authentic and aligned. But it's also creative, right? It's creativity at its finest. And if we thought about the analogy of an artist and their work and thinking of creativity through that lens, well, no artist is trying to force fit their next masterpiece, right? No artist is trying to rush it out the door or use a cookie cutter template, no sculptor is spinning the wheel faster to get the sculpture done out and out there just so it's, you know, done and, you know, start selling it and put it on the market, so to speak. So we've got to also recognize, you know, what is it that truly creates, you know, art that reinvents the way people think? And that's ultimately what amazing art can do. It's actually shifting perceptions. It's creating revolutions. It's challenging current perceptions and the way we think and see and feel. And that is the opportunity that you have when you are in a service-based business, when you are a coach, a healer, a mentor, a guide, a leader of any kind, is you have the ability to have that impact. But it's going to come first and foremost from tuning into your own creative self-expression and honoring that versus trying to quote-unquote get it right.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Because we put so much pressure on our – so much pressure gets put onto our messaging. And look, here's the thing. I completely agree with you. It is so important. It is such an integral part, because otherwise, if you're not, you know, focusing on it, it's like standing in a room and in the corner speaking to a wall, you know, or not even saying anything and wondering why people aren't coming to you. Yeah. That's right. But we put so much pressure. We put so much pressure. So I love that you spoke about the creativity aspect of it. I love that you spoke about the curiosity as well with it, because I know that what I see is for a lot of clients and people I've worked with is so much pressure gets put onto it in the context of that one piece, that one, you know, one post that you write. And when you were using that beautiful analogy of, you know, a sculpture or a painting, what flashed into my eyes and what I was thinking is that the artwork is created one stroke at a time, one brush, right? And it's a compound effect of each of those strokes of the brush, each of those choices of color that creates the masterpiece. It's not that it's just one stroke with one brush, with one color, and boom, it's done. There is such a compounding effect that happens over with works like that. I know you're familiar, over days and weeks and months and sometimes years for some artists as well. So what do we, why do we then, you know, come into this entrepreneurial space in this sense of creativity and put so much pressure on it?
Oh my gosh, I'm covered in goosebumps with what you just said, Gemma. It's so bang on. And it's so true, because I feel like a lot of people are just hanging on one post. They're hanging everything onto that one. Say, oh, I did this and it didn't work.
Therefore,
no one cares what I have to say. Therefore, what I'm doing is stupid. Therefore, I'm not good enough. And then suddenly the story is just unfold.
It just validates. It just continues to validate. Exactly. You just continue to collect evidence of what you're believing. Oh, more evidence that no one wants to hear what I have to say. More evidence that I can't be myself.
Right.
You know, it's how we work.
Absolutely. But the way that people buy into us is through consistently hearing your message. And different people are going to resonate with different types of messaging and seeing things through different angles and perspectives and filters. And so it can never just be one post that's ever going to be, you know, that's it, you know, job done. I'll put my feet up and watch the flurry of people line up and fill my inbox wanting to work with me. But this is really what comes back to that commitment, because I feel like there's a lot of people coming into entrepreneurship and they're not really committed to the long haul. They're not committed to this actually being how they do things and embracing that and embodying it, to use your word earlier, of this is, you know, this is every fiber of my being and I'm committed to the cause.
Yes.
No matter what. And every single day I'm going to speak my truth and have my say and make a stand for this cause, because I know it's bigger than me and the ripple effect that's going to be created when I continue to share this. And I know at any given moment, the right person is going to see the right message. Right. And we can help someone feel less alone through our messaging, but we can't be posting desiring that instant gratification around it. That's not the right attitude. And I just, funnily enough, did a live to one of my paid groups just this week on this very topic, this sense of I put something out that didn't work, shit. But really what's that all about? That's about you, again, seeking to have, you know, the validation, seeking for you to have the right response or enough responses or enough follows or enough likes. And it's not about that. That's not what having an impact is. And I shared a post just recently that impact is not necessarily public, right? The impact that you're having through your work, it's felt deeply and probably quietly behind the scenes a lot of the time. And it will be at the moment you're least expecting it that someone will just reach out and say, do you know what? That thing you shared today, I really needed to hear it. We've all had that, right? Where
definitely.
Didn't even know that person was following us. So don't underestimate the impact that you are having. But don't make it about getting the reaction and the response, because then it will feel pressured. We will tie ourselves in knots. It will start to feel forced. We'll start resisting it. And we'll get all those perfectionist triggers just flying back out of us as well.
Yeah, I know. And it's, I mean, I am someone that goes deep with things. So I'm not going to overtake this and go too deep, but I will tell you, and I will just seed this with those that are listening, because I'm the one that is able to see the surface level problem and actually see like, what is it that's really going on underneath this? And I shared a little bit of this recently on my social media about this concept of codependency. And this is where this starts to happen. We start to see this because we have, as women, created this very kind of dysfunctional relationship with our businesses at some times. And that's where it shows up in, we're seeking validation. You know, we put a post out there and we're using our business, we're using our social media, we're using our message and our voice as this portal to receive that validation back in. And so we've got to tidy up that relationship that we've got going on then, because when we do, then it's not about us. It's not just something that we know. Oh, because a lot of people will listen to this and be like, you're right. It's not about me. I know that it's not about me. It's about, you know, who I can help and the message that I'm getting out there and the legacy, but they're not embodied in that because there is some work that's to be done around that. But you know, it's this concept of like creativity that really rises to that freedom that we really experience to go back into that childlike nature of exploration and creativity and curiosity and fun. And like the flow that you talk about isn't necessarily an action, right? It's not necessarily, no. Flow is a feeling, and it's not a feeling that is, flow is not an absence of resistance either, by the way, because I don't, you know, a river will still flow when there is points of resistance in the river, right? It's still going to flow. If there's, you know, big rocks, the water will find a way to move around. So flow is still happening even with those points of resistance there. So, you know, there's a lot of conversations and a lot of work that needs to be done. And I think a lot of us as well need to start talking the truth because, you know, when you were talking about the, you know, we know it's not one social media post, but how, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen a lot of people sharing in a lot of these really large groups. Oh, I shared one story on Instagram and made $300 billion. So that really, yeah, you know, you've seen them, haven't you? You've seen those posts, one Instagram story. And it's like, okay, that one Instagram story of you launching that thing. Yes, absolutely. Because that had a very clear call to action that was enticing people in. But what about the 365 days of Instagram stories you've been doing leading up until that point that's allowed people to have that connection with you? There's got to be some conversations around the reality of actually what's going on and the commitment to the journey, not just the result.
Absolutely. And laying the groundwork, laying the foundations.
Yes, you know,
when we do spend time on the things that make all the difference, which is, by the way, recognizing what you want to stand for, your personal brand, your positioning, your niche, your messaging. When we get clear on all of those things, then yes, it is easy to sell because we have got the buy-in from our audience because we have committed, we've been consistent, we've been reliable, we've given a sense of certainty as well as the whole know, like, and trust factor. But that's really where we need to be paying attention, like not focusing on the end pitch and the end sales call and seeing how we can manufacture that to work better for us. But actually, what is it that leads people to have that sense of, I 100% want to work with this person? That's in showing up with full self-expression and, you know, owning all sides and facets of ourselves and, you know, being authentic in being honest with those different facets of ourselves. That
yes.
is the decision-making moments for people that they're my person, right? And then yeah, they've already decided they want to work with you before they even get to the sales post.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. Can we have a conversation about consistency? Because I think I know how important consistency is, but I think the term consistency has been so muddied and it creates a lot of internal pressure for people. So I would love for you, because I'd love for you to kind of go into that a little bit and talk about your perspective yeah. around consistency.
Consistency. So, I mean, I think a lot of people, oh my God, I've got to show up every day and I've got to do yes. a reel and a live and a story and be on TikTok and Clubhouse and blah, 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 blah. Like, well, first and foremost, I'm running my business 3 days a week around a 1 and 3 year old one-handed. There's no way in hell I have time for all of that. So consistency is not about frequency.
Yes. Thank
you. Consistency for me is owning what you want to be known for and consistently having conversations and starting conversations and sharing on those things, because that's the only way you can ever be known for anything is when you actually commit to what I want to be seen as, what I want to be known for. And I call it your expert topics. And ultimately this is the crux of any brand that becomes global, becomes iconic, you know, stands for something in the hearts and minds of people. It has to come back to, they are always talking about these same values. They're always talking about these same points. They're ultimately coming back to that. And again, it's the groundwork, it's the foundations. People jump straight to the shiny, sexy, fun stuff, and they haven't thought about the foundations. So then it gets shaky, you know, then it gets wobbly. It kind of can fall apart because they haven't got substance behind the style, so to speak. You know, they haven't got that anchor. And that reference point to keep coming back to, so that everything just kind of makes sense and it can truly be seen as a quote unquote authority in that space. But that takes time and it's kind of earned, right? And it's earned through doing the groundwork and showing up and repeatedly having conversations around those key things, as they said, that you want to be known for. And that is far more important than the number of times or the ways that you're showing up, I believe, on a daily, weekly basis. It's really instead having power and potency in what you're sharing and, you know, going deeper with that versus, oh God, I've got to share something. Here's an inspirational quote I found, you know, and just I'll throw that out there, because then I've showed up online. I say to my clients, I'd far rather you shared less, but really connected into what you're sharing in a meaningful, wholehearted way, because that is always going to have a bigger impact.
Oh, so, amen. Amen. Secondly, if you're listening to this, you need to skip back and listen to that again, okay? Because this conversation around consistency, like consistency is so muddied. People have absolutely enmeshed the word frequency with consistency and have lost themselves in putting so much pressure on themselves to be showing up daily, multiple times a day, all over the place, doing all the things, you know, and it's completely, I think, diluting the potency. You talked about the power and the potency of their message gets completely diluted. Mm. So it's just another way that we put this pressure on ourselves for it to be perfect and think that, you know, we can kind of, and I also think it's, you know, coming back to, and I don't know whether, you know, you talked about kind of your pillars, you know, I don't know whether they're necessarily sequential or they can possibly be that, but like it really, to me, it's like when you don't own your brilliance, you do, it does feel like a more of a scattergun approach. Like you really are scattergunning, you know, really prioritizing frequency over potency. But when you're really grounded in your brilliance and you really feel that and you're embodied in that at the level that you're at, with the knowing that there's opportunity for growth and letting that grow and evolve over time, then that's when the power comes back into your message and you can say less and still have a greater impact. That's my what I see, my experience, my opinion.
I completely agree. Otherwise, it's just noise, to be honest. There's plenty of noise online. We don't need to contribute to the noise. and actually, you know, there's so much more power sometimes in silence and in stillness and in taking that step back and creating space. And, you know, I'm not someone who, like I have a team that helps me now with my social media in terms of scheduling things and whatnot. And I didn't always, but I'm very fortunate enough to have that now. But they schedule things so that I can be spontaneous with my content when I share things.
Yes.
So that I have that, if I have that moment where I've just got this stream of consciousness and I'm literally, I cannot get to the computer fast enough because I have to get this out now.
Yes.
You know, these downloads, those moments when I'm sharing that type of content and those types of posts, that always creates the most waves versus the times that, you know, in the past where I've sat at my desk, like, okay, content. What am I going to share? So I think as well, just knowing how to tap into your creativity, right? It comes back to your creative flow, your intuitive gifts, your inspiration, what you are feeling called to share in that given moment. And it's not by accident, you know, those thoughts that kind of circle around our head, the nudges, it's all for a reason, right? And that is part of stepping into and embodying this sense of service and sharing our brilliance with the world. And
Oh, I love it. And it's so true. And it begs the conversation about like your business. If we want to go into the consistency aspect a little bit more, it's like you can set structures up in your business so your business takes the pressure of consistency off you, and then you get to be in more of that creative flow. And I think
that's right.
You know, certainly like a strategic aspect as well. You know, that we can all absolutely lean into more and more as well.
And that's why messaging is an art and a science, but I feel like entrepreneurship full stop and business is an art and a science. Like we do need the structures to support our creativity, as you say, which I love. We do need the strategy. We need to know what the hell we're focusing on, right? Like it's all well and good to be showing up and, you know, feeling good about it and feeling a sense of confidence and exuding that. But if we want to have a business, it still needs to be meaningfully working towards how we monetize all of that as well. So I do feel like there's the strategy and there's the mindset, and it's not one and it's not the other. It has to be a blend of both.
Yeah, I know. And people talk about, I mean, I've seen conversations go on, it's like 50% this or it's whatever. It's like 100%. It's 100%. In my mind, it's 100% mindset, 100% strategy. Okay. And how that looks obviously is very different. But as you were talking as well, I just want to kind of bring home one point that you've really beautifully honed in on, this energy of curiosity, because you've mentioned quite a bit about how messaging is both art and science. Entrepreneurship is both art and science. And what is at the core of both art and science is curiosity. right?
Yes,
it's
yes,
curiosity
yes,
is
yes.
the boat. Like, yes. You know, science is built on the foundation of curiosity, is it not? I mean, think about all the scientists. It starts with a question, does it not? Like, it starts with a question. And it's the same with art. Art begins with what can I create here? What is coming through me? You know, it's this energy of curiosity. And I think that if we can bring that more of that energy into, you know, our business on so many levels, it's going to make for a much more enjoyable journey, right? Which will then guarantee that the result, and when we land in that place that we've been visioning and wanting to land, it's going to be just as beautiful as well. And I think this is, like, you talk about rewriting success. I think this is a core foundation of rewriting success, right? Is bringing this energy of curiosity into everything we do, like being very curious about how we can rewrite success for ourselves, how we can choose a different path to journey down in terms of what success can look and feel like for us too.
Gemma, I've literally just sat here and physically applauded you because it was
like, oh, okay, thank you.
The curiosity behind the science as well as the art. I love it. And it's so true. And this is where innovation comes from. And this is this is the dichotomy right now, because everyone's like forcing innovation and they're forcing creativity.
Yes.
And we're not just shutting the hell up and sitting with it and seeing what rises to the surface, but also looking at it from a different angle and perspective. And you know, that sense of, like, asking those questions, as you say, like, we're searching so desperately for the right answers and the right solutions, but we're never asking the questions that help us to come to those conclusions. And, you know, every innovation has always come about from someone saying, I wonder if it could be done a different way, or I wonder what it might look like if we did it like this.
My God, I know.
And the core philosophy of my business has been rewriting the rules. I feel like it has been my journey because, as I said, when I moved to Sydney and I negotiated that, you know, it was kind of unheard of, part-time senior marketing role in a Fortune 500 company, which then led to a job share, and without children, right? Because usually job shares were because you had children, and actually it was because I had a business. And, you know, people used to say, well, how did you do that? How did you get that? Or, like, how did you appear in Forbes? Or how did you do whatever? Because I asked, and because I had curiosity to consider, I wonder if this would be possible instead. No one's going to do this thinking for you. No one's going to miraculously throw it in your lap for you. Like, no one was ever going to give me that job share, right? Like, I created that opportunity and reality for myself. I committed to that and I spoke up to make it happen. And I was very fortunate to have the support of those around me to do that. But, you know, it all comes from, again, it's that sense of curiosity. I wonder if I could have the best of both worlds. I wonder if I could rewrite the rules around this, you know? And I think if you take that philosophy as your kind of guiding principle in business, like, how am I going to rewrite the rules in a way that works for me? And I wonder how I can do this in a way that works for me. I wonder how I can do this with more fun, more flow, more ease, more simplicity. Then I think everything will change for you.
Oh God, I love it. And as you were saying that, I just, you know, it's so true. It was so focused on the answer that we actually sometimes forget to ask the question. It's like, here's the problem. What's the solution? And we don't realize that the question is the portal to the solution.
Every time.
Right? Every single time. And that's what allows us, you know, as women who are, we are at the moment, truly paving a new way when it comes to business, when it comes to entrepreneurship. I truly believe that our generation is doing that. We're paving the way for our kids to be able to go down these paths and create success on their terms as well. And it does begin with us having an element of curiosity and courage to be able to also be in the curiosity without knowing that the answer is a certainty. Oh my God, all the C's, right?
And the courage to follow through on our curiosity, right? Because we can sit idly by and be curious, but follow through on that curiosity, right? Take the action. Actually figure out what worked differently or what didn't work differently. Like, that's where it really gets interesting and fun and exciting. So, you know, I don't want to be someone that would forever wonder what could have been or could have happened had I just, you know, put my big girl pants on and had a go. And it's that sense of, you know, the possibility, even just the possibility of having regrets, that always lights the fire at my backside. So be curious, but then go follow through and test, experiment, right?
Yes.
Like, Put it out there and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. Try something else.
Louder for the people in the back. My core philosophy, and any of my clients will tell you that my core philosophy is business is an experiment. It's my core philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had everything. A stuff up or an explosion in our chemistry class, haven't we? Like, we just did it again differently the time after.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. It's so true. And I love that we've been able to have this conversation around all of these things. I know that it's going to ignite some fire and some passion and some ideas and a different perspective around all of this. So, I mean, we've covered off on a lot in this episode. There's no doubt. Are there any last thoughts, anything that you would love to share that we maybe haven't touched on, or you even just want to kind of bring home a little bit more for those that are listening?
I think the key things that I always bring everything back to, which I think summarizes this, is we have to trust ourselves.
Yes.
We have to trust ourselves. We do have the answers that are right for us. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. That is the biggest lesson that we always learn the hard way, I think, in life, in work, and definitely in the online space, of just staying in our own lane, staying grounded, staying true to ourselves. It's okay that other people are doing different things, because the most important thing is whatever we do has got to feel good. That goes for your messaging, that goes for your content, that goes for your sales process, that goes for every single aspect. If it doesn't feel good, then do the thing that does feel good.
And ladies, business gets to be that way too. It really does. It gets to be that way too. Well, I love this. I love this conversation we've had. I'm so grateful to you for your perspective, your experience, your journey, and for coming on and sharing all of this as well. As I said, I truly believe that so many women are going to be deeply activated by what we've spoken about here today. And I know that it will have a ripple effect. So I'm deeply grateful for that. And I know that women are going to want to connect with you somehow. So after listening to this conversation and what you've been able to bring into that, for them to be able to see messaging and their brilliance from such a beautiful angle, how can they learn more from you, be connected to you, be in your energy?
Thanks, Gemma. Yeah. So if anyone would like to connect, I'm so, so open to anyone literally just reaching out, DMing me, you know, say hi. I'm on Instagram as at Holly McHugh, and I'm on Facebook, Holly McHugh Coaching. And I also have a Facebook community. It's called Empowered Entrepreneurs Connect and Inspire, where I share lots of hints, tips, and resources around all of these things as part of a really beautiful, like-minded community. So I'd be very thrilled for anyone who wants to join me there.
I love it. Amazing. Incredible. I will link everything up in the show notes so that it will be a very easy click of the button for people to be able to find you. So thank you. I truly appreciate you. I truly appreciate this conversation we've been able to have today as well. And I know how much it's going to help people, because as you say, messaging really is a deal breaker. It is such an integral part. Owning our brilliance is the core and foundation for all of this. And I truly know that we will have helped some people deeply own their brilliance and really see messaging from a different perspective too.
Thank you so much for having me.